comrades. It's me, David James Young, for another week of All My Friends Are in Bar Bands. How are you? Thanks for tuning in and checking this out. Really appreciate you being here. Got an absolutely lovely one this week, and one that is so overdue. Oh my goodness. This was recorded in November of last year. I have no idea why it has taken so long to get this one up. But I'm glad that it actually has. It's actually kind of timed out well. Similar to the Jordan Hudkins episode, by the time this has come out, the album being referred to in the not-too-distant future has been recorded, has been produced, has been mixed, and been mastered, and now it is officially out in the universe. That's right. The album is called Zinc, and the artist is Katie Baker. Katie Baker is a singer and songwriter from now Darwin, but originally Adelaide, and has also lived in Brisbane and Melbourne. Basically, she's Australian. She'll tell you that much. She's been around the block a few times. You may know her from her time in Sieta, a really, really great hip-hop-infused soul duo who made two fantastic records back in the day. You might have also seen her recently performing live with Briggs, or by extension with AB Original. That's her singing on the song Dead in a Minute from the Reclaim Australia album. She's on a bunch of other tracks as well. Absolutely phenomenal singer, incredible performer, and she is currently on tour. If you're listening to this, the day it comes out tomorrow night, she's playing at Leadbelly, FKA The Vanguard, on King Street in Newtown. And she's got a bunch of other shows coming up as well. You can find them all out by hitting her up, katiebakermusic.com. But yeah, this was recorded when all of that was still in the prosperous future. This was recorded, sigh, at the Newtown Social Club, RIP, gone way too fucking soon. And it was recorded while she was in Sydney opening for Sun Little, who also has a really good new album out that is definitely worth sussing. So this was our first time catching up in a while. I've known Katie for about 5, maybe 6 years, and it was our first time seeing each other in quite some time. So yeah, it's a pretty long one, and we kind of get into a lot of different stuff surrounding her upbringing and her musical pursuits, etc. But yeah, I think it turned out really, really, really well. And Katie, I cannot apologize enough for taking so fucking long to get this one up. But I'm glad that we finally have the avenue to do as such and can share that with you today. So yes, Katie Baker is our guest today. The debut album is Zinc. It is available now on your Spotify's, on your Apple Music's, on your bloody whatever else. Wherever you choose to get music, beg, borrow, and steal. Get this record. Check it out. It is an absolute beauty. Won't leave you too much longer, but just another very, very quick reminder. This podcast is made possible with the love and support of a bunch of absolute fucking legends like yourself. If you've got this in your earbuds and you are downloading this, streaming this, however you are getting this, thank you so, so much. It is so appreciated. If you like what you hear, please share it around. Let people know what we're doing. You can leave a review over on Apple Podcasts. You can tell people what we're doing via social media. You can, you know, share with your friends. You can say, oh, I know you like this band, or, you know, something like that. Maybe you'll be interested in this podcast where, you know, someone actually speaks to this artist or this band pretty in depth about everything in their entire lives ever. It's fun. Like, we have a lot of fun doing this. It's an entirely independent podcast, and all of your support is so, so, so appreciated. If you do have a couple of bucks lying around and you would like to support in that way, then please head over to Patreon and you can help keep this podcast up and running online. For as little as $1 a month, you can help keep this podcast going and support independent Australian podcasting. So, if that sounds like something that may be of interest, please head over to patreon.com/barbands. That is patreon.com/barbands. Alrighty, folks, let's do it to it. This is Katie Baker. Today, I would like to introduce you to my friend, Katie Baker.
Hi.
Hello, darling. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm not too bad at all. We're back at Newtown Social Club, where many episodes have been recorded, including this one, obviously. And Miss Katie Baker is on the road with Mr. Sun Little. How have the shows been going?
They've been really cool. Really super cool. Yeah. Met him a couple of hours before our sound check in Brisbane last week. Played the Brisbane show.
Yeah.
That was really intimate and awesome. We ended up at Pancake Parlor at 2 a.m.
As all good nights in Brisbane should end, yeah.
Correct. And then the Melbourne show was the last night at the Toff in Town.
Oh, great venue.
Yeah, fantastic venue. Great sound, great atmosphere. I'm pretty sure it was almost sold out, so that was really, really awesome to see like pretty much half the venue singing a couple of his songs along with him.
Yeah,
it was really sweet.
Yeah, fantastic. And you've pretty much been non-stop on the road this year. Like, we were just talking off mic how you pretty much haven't been home for about 4 months. So,
pretty much.
Yeah. give us the breakdown of what you've been doing the last fucking 4 months or so.
4 months?
Yeah, you've been everywhere, man.
I've been everywhere, man. That's right. I have... I released my first debut single as myself, Katie Baker, stepping away from Sierra. Heavy on My Heart. I released that in August, and then I played the Darwin Festival. That was kind of like my debut with the band.
Yeah.
I played that in August and then started doing an East Coast tour. So Brisbane, Brisbane surrounds, Northern New South Wales. Then I broke a little bit for Big Sound and hung out with the crew there. And then I did a couple more gigs around the area and then flew back to Darwin for a week. I was home for a week, recorded vocals for the new single that is coming out next year, caught up with some family, and then returned pretty much to do Caloundra Music Festival in Queensland.
Yeah.
Then I did a little bit of sneaky recording, some backing vocals for Pete Murray, which I'm really excited to hear.
Oh, wicked. Nice.
Yeah, and then I pretty much hit the road and did Coffs Harbour, everywhere in between Coffs and Newcastle and Sydney.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then down through the regional areas of Orange and Mudgee and Wollongong and Nowra. Went into Newcastle, then across, not Newcastle, sorry, Canberra.
Right.
Then across to Castlemaine in Victoria, down to Melbourne, Ballarat. And I went to, I'm making you sleepy.
Oh, God. I'm just imagining the fucking, the odometer.
I can
just,
swear, just cool. Yes. I borrowed my mum's car to do the tour, and I got it serviced right beforehand, and I had done like many thousands of Ks over the next due date for a service.
Bloody
yeah,
hell.
after that.
Now, most people would go, "Oh, okay, Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, I'm set." Why did you go, "Well, fuck it, I'm here. I might as well tour for 3 months non-stop."
I have an amazing booking agent and
hyperactive.
Yeah. Shout outs to Luke Morton. With Sierra, the band that I was in before, and I'm still in that band, we're still working together on sound system stuff. We're just not making any new music under the banner Sierra. It's all my solo stuff.
Yeah.
we were lucky and fortunate enough to jump on tours with pretty established artists straight away. So yeah. We hit up the capital cities, we went to concert venues, did clubs and pubs, and we missed the regional grind, which is kind of, I think, you know, you learn a lot about yourself, you get really good at it because you've got, you know, night after night after night of performing to, you know, a plethora of the experiences are very varied, you know.
Sure.
I've played to six people, then I played to 300 people. It every night is different. You're meeting new people every night. It's a real testament to the strengths of your personality.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah.
I've learned a lot about myself over the last 4 months, that's for sure. I've been accompanied by a good friend of mine who I consider family as my guitarist for the majority of those shows.
Yeah.
We did the Dan Sultan gigs as well. That's right. I did Dan Sultan for his did support for Dan Sultan Magnetic Tour.
Yeah.
In Melbourne and Sydney. And then pretty much had 3 days to rehearse with the wonderful Lindsay the Dr. McDougall.
Friend of the show, previous
friend
guest.
Of the show, good to hear. He's my guitarist for the Sun Little Tour, which is what I'm currently on. So
yeah.
I'm just recycling through all of the capital cities.
Unreal. So how did you meet up with Lindsay? You guys played in Adam Briggs's
Correct.
Band together.
Yeah. Yeah, Briggs wanted to get the band together. James, my music producer, is a bass player as
yep.
well. Was like, well, I got the man for the drums, which is Stephen Smith, who is my guitarist, who
yep.
was my guitarist for this tour.
Yeah, yeah.
And Briggs was like, I got the guitarist. I've got the shredder that is needed for the unstoppable, unfuckwithable Briggs band. Slaytalica. What's his name? No, I'm not even going to go there. What's that TV show where everyone was divided? He did it. He didn't do it.
The People versus O.J. Simpson?
No. they supposedly killed the news reporter out in the... Joel? No.
J.R.?
Nah.
You shot J.R.?
Nah.
Twin Peaks?
Oh my goodness, this is terrible. My memory's so fried. I need some sleep.
Oh,
it's on the tip of my tongue. Anyway... That was a name for the band very briefly as well. So, yeah, we met Lindsay through doing those. And James and I got along really well with him and his wife, Jen, straight away. So we are now family. And I was like, I'm going to steal you for my band. And that's what's happened.
Oh,
yeah.
Wonderful. Like, the circle be unbroken.
Yeah,
it's
man.
Wonderful.
like-minded people and community and
absolutely.
Family. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And now, finally, you know, my little private universe of Elephant Tracks and Friends of Rome can finally
Is this the link, is it?
Yeah,
am I the link?
You're part of the Venn diagram. It's great. It's fantastic.
Oz hip-hop straight into Frenzel punk.
Yeah, why not? I love it. So we go back a few years. We're going to the end of... I believe it was the end of 2010 or the end of 2011. It was one of the two. Might have been the end of 2011.
You're gonna know better than me.
Yeah. Well, I remember the place. It was Peach Ridge Music Festival.
Oh, Matt, that's where I met my makeup artist and like legendary friend Emily Onicle.
There you go.
Peach Ridge coming
yes.
through.
Yeah. So, and it was purely coincidental as well. I was walking from one stage to another. Like, I think. You know when you're a festival like that and the grand scale of it, you get so excited about the little things like getting like escorted around on golf carts and shit.
Oh man,
it's the
best.
I saw someone going to another stage. It's like, oh, where are you going? The other stage. Can I ride on the back of the golf cart? Yes.
Yes. I don't even think I got to go on one of those. I like to walk and. And look at the things along the way. But there was quite a big network of backstage area that
was quite
large,
was
wasn't it?
Yeah. It was massive.
That's
and
right.
And so I end up at this other stage, and you two are playing, you and Jimmy from Seattle, and that was my first exposure to you guys. I could hear you guys playing from a while away, and then I wander in, I'm just like, what's going on here? And then catch up, meet you guys afterwards, and... Yeah, kind of hit it off ever since, and
Yeah, it's been ages and ages since I saw either of you, but, you know, always...
I've seen you online, so it feels like you've been constantly in our life.
Well, you know, that is the great thing about the internet.
Correct.
You know, whether we're in Sydney or in Darwin, we can bring the people together.
We can.
Yeah. On that note, tell us about how Sieta originally came to be.
How did Sieta originally come to be? I met James in Brisbane.
Right.
And I had not really been in any bands. I didn't really necessarily want to be in a band. I didn't really want to perform or anything like that. I wanted to write music and give it to other people to perform. And we met, and he was just starting to make beats. He was just dabbling as a bass player, so he was playing a lot of live shows, and so he's had all of this live show expertise that I'd never had, apart from just jumping up with my dad, who's a blues musician, on stage with him for festivals and gigs, you know, as a teenager and my early 20s. So I didn't really have much live music and live musicianship experience. So I met James, and he's like, I love your voice. We were at a party together. We hadn't really known each other for very long, and everyone was a bit drunk, I think, and someone said, oh, everyone has to do something that they're good at.
Here we go.
Yep. So there was some gymnastics, there was some card tricks, and so I sang.
Right.
And
do you remember what you sang?
I sang Sweet Little Angel by Big Mama Thornton's one of my favorite blues tracks.
Lovely.
And I think he kind of just went, all right, I would like to work with this voice. And so we kind of, I don't know, just started hanging out a bit and getting to know one another's musical background. And he basically said, you need to go and be in a band, learn that for a little bit. He's my mentor in a way.
Sure.
So I made a band. We wrote a few songs. We played a couple of gigs. And then I was like, all right, I'm done. I'm ready to do the other thing that we're going to do. And he just started writing beats, and I saw so much potential in them and writed songs to them. Writed? Oh my goodness.
Wrote.
All right. So I was writing to his beats, and we both progressively got better at what we were doing.
We
moved to Melbourne. And we didn't have a name at that point. Mm. And he moved to Melbourne first and got the hook up with TZU, so Jolistics, Count Bounce,
yes,
Peso Bionic, Corey, Yerok. And he joined their band as bass player.
Mm.
And Pip is a wonderful producer, heard some of our demos. I was working as a graphic designer in Melbourne. I was putting money aside to, you know, make this work. In my off time. So we recorded with Pip, and we did an EP, and he was of course working with Earthboy from Elephant Tracks.
Sure.
Awesome. Passed it on to Tim invited us on a little, it wasn't a tour, but he invited us to support him in Sydney. Ooh. At maybe the Vanguard, I think.
Oh, great venue.
Yeah. We decided to make it a full length album, so James and I and Pip did. And Elephant Track signed us from that. And that was the beginning.
Perfect.
And then we've just been cruising around the country as Sieta with, you know, Hermitude and The Herd and Earthboy and who else? Last Connection.
Oh, of course.
Sky High. Yeah, or Horror Show.
Yeah.
Jimbla. Yeah.
Fantastic. All them up. Crew, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Fucking brilliant,
yeah. Yeah.
You couldn't ask for much more than that. That is an exceptional run of people there. Just a top family right there.
Yeah, and then, you know, James and I, we became pretty good friends with Briggs during that time, and we've been collaborating with him and Trials as well.
Yeah, because he remixed one of your songs, didn't he?
He ghost-faced it. He hit me up about doing a track on his album Shep Life as a hook, and I hadn't really done any guesting as being a hook bitch or anything like that for anyone. I used to get hit up all the time, you know.
Sure, yeah.
Especially from, you know, my beat, his beats, my raps, your voice, you know, take over the world. Like, nope, no, we won't. It's not happening. And I checked out Briggs' shit, and I was like, I really fucking love this. So, yeah. Met him on the day that I was recording the hook for. I wrote the hook for Bigger Picture. Yeah, he's pretty much been a part of our family since that day.
Brilliant.
And he heard tracks of The Invisible River before they they obviously got released.
Yeah, yeah.
And he heard Let It Go. I was like, oh, I'm ghost facing that shit. Ghost facing that shit.
To do something in the style of Ghostface Killer.
Killer, correct. Which is exactly what he did. James made the drums a little bit more banging. Then we did a video clip for it. Chuck that out.
Yeah.
He also took one of our instrumentals as well from that album. And then since that's Shep Life, and then since then, AB Original has been born.
Yeah.
Trials from the Funkors.
Yep.
And I've done a few songs with them as well for Reclaim Australia.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, yeah, I love those tracks.
They're banging. So whole album.
Yeah. Iconic. I've
been waiting for those songs to be released for so long.
I can imagine. Jesus. Yeah, I want to talk about your initial interest in music and kind of where it's changed from being just something you were consuming, observing, etc., to being something that you wanted to do. Indeed, if there was that kind of light bulb moment for you. Like you mentioned, your dad was a musician, so I'm assuming that music was kind of a big part of your upbringing.
100%. It was pretty much, I'd say, in utero. Like, before I was born, I was orally fed the goodness of blues and soul and rock and roll, jazz, big band, country blues, American music, basically.
That
didn't really change until I was a teenager. Like, we didn't really get to listen to whatever we wanted to listen to, which was a pain in the ass being, you know, a prepubescent kid. And then finding that, you know, I discovered New Jack Swing and R&B and hip-hop, love Wu-Tang Clan, love pop, love Spice Girls, whatever. I loved Garbage, Presidents of the United States.
Yeah, fucking hell.
Yes, I was surrounded by music constantly, all of the time, but also witnessing the lifestyle of a musician. My dad is still a musician. He doesn't tour anything anymore, but he used to, and so it was kind of like I don't know that I really want this life.
Yeah.
Witnessing a family member doing what they're doing and the struggles that, you know, occur and whatever. But I started singing and writing. I can remember being super young in the Adelaide Hills where we lived, in our house that my parents had built, but they hadn't finished the laundry at the very end, so it was just this massive slab of concrete, because it's built into a hill, split level.
Yeah.
And I remember getting up, probably quite dangerously, onto this slab of concrete and pretending to perform to no one, or to everyone, to anyone.
Yeah.
And we also had rainwater tanks, and I used to climb up. It was also massive and probably extremely dangerous. climb up the ladder, and I would put my head in and I would yell or sing or whatever just to hear the reverb in the tank.
Taking risks.
Yeah. I'm not entirely sure if my parents knew that I did that. So I've always been fascinated with sound and what I could do with it. And then when I was in high school, I joined the choir, did it for 2 years, went, this is definitely not my shit, and then just went into the arts. So I didn't do any music or any formal training or anything like that in high school.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was, I can't read or write music. I write songs and I write music my way, but I can't, I don't know what to do with.
Did you pick up like guitar or piano lessons or anything?
Nah, my dad's a blues musician. He's a blues guitarist.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, we butt heads. So him trying to teach me anything just was impossible and it never worked. And the world doesn't need another shitty guitarist. So I'm like, I'm quite happy just to, I get lost when I perform, I think. So when I say lost, I mean, I'm in a kind of, I guess I go into a bit of a trance because I don't know what I do. It just happens, and I don't think my brain has the capacity to operate another instrument at the same time as my voice. And people who can blow me away, like, I think it's amazing. Obviously, it's practice and all of that, but never had an interest in it, really. Maybe I'll sit down and fuck around with a piano. That'll definitely be something that I'll get my head around at some point, definitely. But for no training. I did a couple of voice lessons, and one of them was highly rude, and the other one was, like, a little old lady doing la 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 scales. I was like, oh, this is
nothing.
Next level.
Let's get to the
That's right. Beyonce trills. Yeah, so I didn't have any training or anything like that. I didn't necessarily, like I said before, didn't really want to go into music or whatever. But what during high school, my friends were always a bit like, okay, you can shut the fuck up now. You've been singing for a little too long now. Just stop. And my parents heard me singing, because I've got quite a strong voice. It's a bit hard to kind of disguise it.
This
so
is true.
Singing and warming up anywhere is a pain in the ass. I need to be like in either soundproof or in a field. My parents finally heard me properly when I was probably 15 or 16, and that's when I started getting up at Woodford Folk Festival.
Uh-huh.
When my dad was playing at those. It's kind of, I think it's inherently genetically built into me to do. Like, I'm shit at a lot of things, but I'm really good at this, I think. Obviously, I wouldn't do it as a full-time job. And I love doing it, you know, it's a part of who I am.
Totally.
Part of my identity. So even, you know, it wouldn't matter what the fuck happened with my career, I would still be doing it no matter what.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you remember the first time that you actually got up and performed? Like, do you remember how old you were, etc.?
Oh. No, not really. I don't know, I was one of those kids that used to make my brother learn plays and shit so we could perform them to the grandparents.
No shit.
Out in the backyard. You know, those super extroverted, hyper manic children that just needed to have their creativity validated, I guess. So I don't really remember the first time. I was probably, if it was in front of a lot of people, I don't have stage fright or anything like that. I'm quite happy to
do my
thing.
Not even back when you were a kid?
No. I did the Lion King play when I was in primary school. I played Nairobi. No, what's her name? Fuck, that's a country, or a capital city. Showing my ignorance. Nala's mum. What's her name?
Yeah. I can't remember.
It starts with an N. And I sang "Can You Feel the Love Tonight." That was my. So that was in front of, you know, probably a couple hundred people. I don't remember.
Damn.
I had bad eyesight maybe as a kid. Maybe that had something to do with it. I just not. Totally being aware of the glaring faces or whatever. You've either got it or you don't. I've just got no problem with it.
Yeah. So you moved around a fair bit then. If you grew up in Adelaide, moved to Brisbane, then to Melbourne, and now you're in Darwin.
Yeah, but when I used to live in Adelaide, my dad would travel up to Darwin every year, so we'd follow him and spend time in Darwin for a good chunk of the year.
Yeah, which is interesting, because I've never, like, most of the people that I've ever known from that area, like, have always kind of lived there. Like, it's an interesting place to move to, if you know what I mean. Like,
yes.
It's a very, very unique kind of area to kind of decide, okay, well, this is where I'm going to base myself out of, you know, especially in the current, you know, climate where primarily it's entirely on the East Coast, you know.
Yeah, I think there's, for me, community and people and energy is super important, and I have that on lock in Darwin. It's remote as fuck, but I get to tour and be on, I've got family and friends in every capital city that I can crash with, so I'm not, you know, out of pocket or anything like that. I just miss it.
Before that, what brought you to Brisbane?
We're living in Adelaide, and my mum came home one night and said, do we want to move to Brisbane for 6 months? I've got a job transfer offer. And me and my brother kind of got quite bullied at our school, so we were like, fucking yes, let's go, let's leave. So we went to school the next day, got all of our reports and stuff, and our letters, like, just middle fingered everyone out of that shit.
Fuck you, yeah. You're cool, I'm out. Yeah.
That's it. Is that a good burger?
It's
Dave Chappelle?
Yes,
is it?
Dave Chappelle.
Half-Baked.
There we go. I was on the way.
That's right, Half-Baked. My favorite stoner movies.
Oh,
the
so
best.
So good.
Yeah, I've got to go watch that. That's going to be my thanks. I'm going to put that on my list.
Easy,
I'm going to watch that next week. We went in, got all of our shit, and the next day we started packing everything into a car and a trailer, and my mum's job company people paid for our accommodation all the way up, and they supplied us with a house and furniture and everything.
Perfect.
And we were there for, I started school in a primary school, and I jumped a grade as well because of the different ages.
Yeah.
So I kind of just only did a term of grade 7 and found my best mates, who I'm still mates with. I hung out with them last week in Brisbane. Went to a primary school for a term and then went to high school in Brisbane. So basically what happened, it was 6 months, but we all decided, this is too good to like...
Pass up.
So we just decided to start paying our own rent and... Mum kept on going with the job there, and so we just decided to stay in Brisbane.
And so that was kind of like your coming of age years, like, you know.
Yeah, high school. Yeah, man. It was like, well, I grew up in a small country town, and my primary school was a high school, it was an area school, and it was quite diverseless. That's not a word.
There was a lack of diversity.
There was a lack of diversity.
A considerable lack.
Yeah, it was a couple of black fella kids, and the rest were just white.
Oh.
And well, you know, you don't know these things as a kid and whatever.
Yeah, sure.
Then I moved to Brisbane, and I'm like mad. I got teased a lot for the way that I looked.
Really?
Yeah, it's bizarre. Kids are cruel. They can do what they want. Like, you know, I've got quite a square flat nose, so I got quite a few unnecessary racial slurs for that.
That's fucking horrible.
Yeah, it is a little horrible. Yeah, shit stays with you for a while. So I was quite, you know, like, traumatized by that. And I moved to Brisbane, and no one said anything about my nose. No one bullied me. No one... And there were people from all walks of life. You know, my best mates are from Papua New Guinea, and they're Chinese as well. And the diverseness. I lived on the south side of Brisbane, so the north side is a little bit more like the Adelaide Hills. There's definitely a bit more of a... fuck Pauline Hanson. I lived on the south side, which is predominantly, you know, Asian people from Polynesia, New Zealand, Africa. It was super diverse, and I felt at home there. I didn't have a problem with being bullied at all, and I went through, I found a radio station that I fell in love with and recorded and found new music, and everything just kind of worked. It just, you know, everything has to work because that's what happens.
Yeah. So by the time you get to Melbourne, you've been performing for a little bit.
Not really. Tiny little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I think I did 3 or 4 gigs with the band that I put together that I'd written a few songs. It was a band, I'm not going to say the name.
Can you Google them?
No, we had a MySpace.
Oh.
I don't think it's around anymore. But the songs, I mean, like, the songs are good. I wasn't the strongest lyricist back then, but I don't think, I mean, you have to, you know, lyrics are, they're subjective. Sure. I don't think I was me. I wasn't old enough to have experienced enough just yet, but I'm pretty on point with melody and phrasings, I think. So, I still get those songs stuck in my head every now and then. I'm like, I'm going to do something with them. I've got to pull them out and rework them and get someone else to do something with them.
That would be very interesting to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. I should really try and find where they are. We've had so many, you know, hard drive blowouts on laptops and stuff. I'm pretty sure they're probably lost in the ether. But yeah, I didn't really perform much until I got to Melbourne. Melbourne was pretty much my training ground for public performance.
And there was a good community of other musicians and artists and stuff there that you became friends with, or
not really?
No,
I was
just
pretty
kind of stuck to
I stuck to my look. I worked a full time job. It wasn't stressful, but it was long hours, and I got there, and I wasn't established at all, and Melbourne's, you know, there's a lot of careers going on there. James was part of TZU, so he went mad tours and festivals and stuff, so we met heaps of people through that.
Yeah, I remember you guys playing with TZU.
Yeah, we supported them, that's right. I think I remember seeing you at one of the... Was it Wollongong?
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
All back now.
Yeah. You just get drawn to like-minded people with a good energy that,
you know,
you can call your family. So, you know, we've got a lot of crew and friends that are probably placed in these little, you know, whatever, but nothing... I didn't, like, join a group of females doing collective stuff or anything like that. Like, there was a lot of that going on, and 100% support it and loved going to the gigs, but I was... I don't know, I was probably quite mentally unwell during those times as well, so just, I was probably best that I was just isolated for my own good, and probably for everyone else's. I'm good now. And I had chronic fatigue for 8 years as well. Oh, so that's Christ, probably why I can't remember a lot of the gigs.
No, absolutely. I'm not lying.
No. Like, when I'm prompted, when things are like triggered, I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. That did happen. Yeah. No, I loved Melbourne to begin with. I grew to hate my job and the traffic and the weather. Mm-hmm. I'm a heat baby. I need that sunshine. I can't do those winters. I can't be that cold for that long. It's not a part of me to put up with that shit. But I did, and I learned about myself, and I wrote a lot of good music there, and performed and got my chops up, and you know, we got signed to a label, we got publishing, we had management. It's just the nature of progression, really.
Do you have any like distinct memories of Seattle's or anything like that, or is it all kind of faded over the years?
It's not faded. Everything's just a bit of a blur. Like, it's all a massive fucking awesome positive. Like, we got to go to Singapore, we got to go to Liverpool, we got to go to London, we got to go all over this country. I mean, I still meet people that haven't really left their council area or their shire or their capital city.
Mm.
I mean, when I moved to Melbourne, one of my mates that I worked with lived on the east side of Melbourne and never been to Footscray before. And I was like, I've been here for like 2 months and I've seen more of your city. I mean, I'm so grateful that this is what I get to do, and I had so much fun with Seattle, and I absolutely cherish and love all of those memories. Like, I love going through our Instagram years and years ago to see what we did and our Facebook page and all of that, which our very first Facebook page photo on Seattle is in Darwin, actually.
Yeah, right.
It's James and I actually did our first gig together as a wedding performance.
Oh, shit.
Before Seattle, we did a couple of wedding songs in for a mate of ours in Darwin. So it's the first time we played together was in Darwin. So
do you remember what was on the set list for that?
It was I think it was High Tide or Low Tide. That's all I can remember. High Tide, Low Tide. Is that a Bob Marley or is it Ben Harper?
Sam Cooke, maybe?
I don't know. That's High Tide, Low Tide. That's what I remember. There might have been a Ben Harper, because I didn't really listen to Ben Harper before until I learnt one of his songs. So I was right. Like, man, this is difficult and amazing. So, yeah, that's all I can remember from that. So Darwin is, you know... James and I were both born in Adelaide. He moved when he was 5, I moved when I was 12. But I feel a massive connection to Darwin, and he's obviously there, and we've got all of our family and a lot of our friends there as well. So we're from Darwin.
Mm.
We're from Darwin. We've been seasoned in Melbourne. I was educated in Brisbane and Adelaide. Like, yeah. I'm just Australian, yeah. I guess. Yeah.
It was Bob Marley, for the record.
It was Bob Marley? Yes. Mad. You gotta know. I know, you have to know.
Yeah.
You have to know.
Thankfully I'm connected to the information superhighway and I can find out within a minute.
We live in 2016.
Yeah, baby. Not for much longer though.
No. No, correct. Up.
God, it'll be 2017 by the time this comes out.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Yes.
At what point does Seattle kind of run its course and you kind of make that jump into making music under your own name?
We had done our second LP, yes. The Invisible River.
Yep.
And we toured it. I was working a pretty stressful, awesome shift work job that I loved, but also probably burnt me out quite a lot. I did it for 2 years. James started working with Daniel Johns.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He wrote Preach with Daniel, mm-hmm. and a few others as well. We kind of just... like, life happened, stuff happened, and we just decided to... I had kind of, like, lost a lot of energy for a lot of things. Like I said, I had some mental health problems,
mm-hmm.
and decided that I wanted to fix them, and I found the right person to do that with. That happened, and I felt like a completely different person.
Yeah.
And so Seattle didn't seem relevant as much. The main, probably, precursor to this is that James had reconnected with his bass mentor, Michael Honan, who...
plays with...
Yep, and Saltwater Band, and Tommy Lewis, and he's an amazing producer, and James, they connected again, and they'd always wanted to work with us, so there was kind of a proposition of, hey, would Katie consider going solo? I'm like, no, I hate my name. And then...
No one knows how to spell it.
It's awkward. And it sounds, I don't know, Katie Baker. It's growing on me now. I've come around. So that initially, that's pretty much how it started. And I'm always constantly writing when I'm in a position to write. So I sent demos to James, and so James would start showing the demos that we were writing to Michael Honan. And he was like, oh, you know, I can get into this and, it, you know, have some ideas about it. The real catalyst for the entire rebranding of my songs really comes from the reunion I had with my father. I had stopped talking to him 4 years prior.
Right.
We had a falling out. It got to a point where kind of probably just, you know, bite the bullet and get back in contact with him and see how he's doing. And we had a reunion. We were in the house. And before we left, my dad handed James a USB key filled with roughly 600 files of guitar riff ideas, harmonica lines, drum pattern ideas. He was talking to the cat. James had to download a program off the interwebs to convert the file, because it was recorded on a shitty Nokia phone. Into an MP3.
Right.
And we like ummed and ahed about, well, do we get him to replay these or do we get someone else to replay them? We're like, nah, fuck it. The crunchiness is what makes it work. I love that texture. So James would find loops in all of these little ideas that he's got and make sick beats over them.
Right.
And send them to me. I would write songs. Then we would send it to Michael Honan, who would lay fat double bass all over it. We'd fuck with the arrangement. We're still doing it. Like, we're every song that we've only finished two songs. I've got one out already, Heavy on My Heart.
Yeah.
And my next single, which will be released probably February 2017.
Okay.
All the others are still, we're still cycling through. You know, we've got double bass arrangements. We've got horn arrangements. We've got, you know, whatever the songs lend themselves to. The songs really become king, and it's more organic, and there's more instrumentation than ever before that I've ever worked with, but still have that hip hop element because that's such a massive part of who I am.
Yeah, totally.
So that's like, that sound was very different to Sieta, so it would be weird if we'd gone out as Sieta. You know, I'd kind of come into my own. I wasn't probably, you know, 100% during Sieta, so it made sense that with Katie Baker, I am myself.
Yeah.
Own everything, all of the awkwardness, all of the flaws, all of the greatness, all of the good and the bad, everything.
Yeah,
you just gotta own that shit. So that's how it really came out, working with Michael and Mark at Perambulator and Skinnyfish and James and myself. Yeah.
What was that first show like, playing under your own name?
We'd been kind of in Darwin doing some developmental gigs just at pubs and clubs to just get me used to playing with live bands, because I pretty much hadn't really played with any live bands. Sieta was, you know, was all production and MPC and computer based.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
You know, we would start the song and I really couldn't fuck up because...
To a grid.
And now it's like relearning how to perform in a way.
Mm.
You know, I've got, you know, shit's tangible. I can, you know, say, Lindsay, that's fucking awesome. Play it again. I'm not restricted. So learning all of that again has been super fun. So I did that in Darwin, and that was under my name. So people in Darwin know who I am for the most part,
mm-hmm.
I guess. But playing a festival, it's weird seeing my name in a festival bill, that's for sure.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's weird, because it's like, that's my name.
Yeah.
And I'm not hiding behind anything, mm-hmm. and people can Google me, and which is cool. Maybe you guys should Google me.
Maybe.
See
if you can find. Dig up a bit of dirt.
There's no dirt on me.
Of course not. You're a perfect angel, we know that.
Correct.
So, yeah, like, I guess with these shows, you said you've kind of been developing this new kind of stage presence and learning to adapt again. What kind of songs are you playing? Like, is it, like you mentioned, like, there's only a couple of, like, complete
songs, yeah.
Songs, so, like, is it just, like, stuff that you're kind of like developing at the moment, 100%. And you're just trying it out live?
Yeah, like the songs for the most part have like lyrically been written. We're still playing with a lot of the arrangements. I'm definitely going to change the lyrics that I have been singing. You know, they either make sense to me, they used to, or they don't now, or, you know, I could definitely find better words to describe what I'm trying to say, I guess. Everything is still in development. There are songs that I'm performing that I've probably grown to love the arrangements of, which is also a little dangerous because that's demo-itising, which I don't particularly want to do. The songs are still songs, but they're just not available yet. Mid 2017, that's when I'll have an album. But for now,
It's just
singles and a work in progress, yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad it's all going well. Like, you seem to be in a really good place to at the moment.
The best. Yeah, I've got an amazing team and a fucking awesome squad and family around me. And I'm a part of a community. There's a lot of amazing talent in Darwin that I'm missing right now. I'll be back very shortly. Mm-hmm. I get to soak in that for a little while before going on tour with AB Original for Laneway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to be awesome. That's... So you're going to be like a fixture of that live
show. The live show, yeah.
Yep. That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I'm pretty happy about it.
Oh, so you should be. That's unreal. Well, Katie, it has been so, so great to chat to you and kind of... Yeah, learn about all of this, and it's so, so great to see you in this great positive mindset, and I'm really proud of how far you've come, you know.
Thank you so much.
So great to see.
Yeah, likewise, so good to see you. I think I knew you were doing a podcast, but getting to be on it is fucking awesome.
Oh, well, the pleasure is all mine. Thank you for being on it.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, before we get out of here, I asked this of all of my guests, and now this is your turn, Katie. All
right.
I want to know about the best and worst shows that you have ever played. Which will be an interesting experiment, but I'm willing to see where this goes.
The best.
Feel free to start on either or. So
as Katie Baker or Sieta or all?
Everything. We're talking everything. Everything you can remember.
Well, look, to be honest, in terms of turnout, we've definitely had gigs where we've played to, you know, maybe 5 or 6 people.
Ouch.
One of them was only a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
In Nowra.
Uh-huh.
But I sounded awesome. The sound was great. I still had an amazing time.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, look, I've definitely played to some pretty small, intimate environments, but I don't mind that at all if... Worst gig, probably a festival in Brisbane where the sound guy was a douche and didn't have my fold back on for half the set, even though I kept asking for it. It might have been one of those festivals that for the pingers, maybe. For the pingers, you know. It was a festival that they needed to have some live act to.
Oh right.
To maybe
like an EDM kind of thing.
Yeah, I think so. It's like a doof, but it wasn't. It was still a festival. They had some live music, but it was... I don't know. I didn't really enjoy the energy at all.
Yeah.
I still performed well, and I loved it. I don't really have bad gigs. I can't really... It's more... I'm going to beat myself up about shit if I didn't perform well, or I missed a note, or I'm pitchy, or whatever. And that happens consistently throughout. You know, I'm always trying to get better at what I do, so I'm going to be self-critical. But worst gig... Nothing really pops up to mind, really. I'm sure I'll, like, you know, walk away and then tomorrow I'll be like, fuck, that's right.
That was a
banger. oh, look, at the start of this tour, I was touring with an accompaniment that didn't learn my songs. And he had a brownie before our show that I didn't know about. So that was kind of, that gig meant something to me because we were performing somewhere that I actually did really want to kind of, like, you know, do my thing and impress the people there.
Mm.
And yeah, you just didn't keep time. It was a bit uncomfortable. But even then, like, you know, if you're not winning, you're learning. Thank you, Luke Morton, for that one. If you're not winning, you're learning. So look, yeah, it wasn't a bad gig. Best gig? I have so many of those. Best gig. Fuck, last night at the Toff was rad.
Yeah?
Yeah. yeah, just Lindsay and I, great venue, great sound, great energy from the crowd. Yeah, yeah. You know, I've been singing for a few months, like, pretty much straight now, so I'm doing all right, I reckon. So that's last night so far is probably one of my favorite gigs.
Fantastic.
I've definitely had bangers in Seattle.
Yes.
And James and I have performed with Dwayne Everett Smith as well. We've had some great shows with him, with Briggs. Yeah. There's been way more like awesome gigs. Yeah. And I'm sorry I can't answer that more directly. Let's just go with last night. Last night was a banger.
Let's do that. Let's do it. Perfect.
Thanks so much, David.
Hey, thank you. Absolute pleasure having you on. Ooh. Whenever you're listening to this, there's a pretty strong chance that Katie will be playing.
Yes.
Come to a show.
I'll be around.
You know what you should do? Google Katie Baker.
You should Google me. Go to my website. Go to my social media. Katie Baker Music.
Please, hit her up. Please, please do. Because she's wonderful and you will love her as much as I do. Oh,
thanks, David.
You're so welcome. Thank you for being on.
Oh, my pleasure.
I'm David Jensen. All my friends.